I'm not even going to just say anything because you can already hear the audible eye roll from Kevin already because Patrick Mahomes has led the Kansas City Chiefs to the AFC Championship.
Congratulations, Kyle. I will tell you that. Congratulations. It's got to be exciting when you have a team that's gone this far in the playoffs and has made a mark and has beaten teams to be where it needs to be, and also has a record that is able to host the conference championship, AFC conference championship at home.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, before we even get started on this week's edition of The End Zone, I have to call out our good friend Murph because I'm highly disappointed in him.
Uh-oh.
He posted on Twitter that he will choose to root for Tom Brady and the Patriots before he would root for Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. As a Raider fan, is that sacrilege? I mean, I know there's a rivalry with the Chiefs, but we've talked about there is some mutual respect there. But Tom Brady, Tuck Rule?
He knows and is very aware of the pushback that he has gotten on that, and he's talked about that. He talked about it the last time the Patriots were in the Super Bowl, because to see someone win that amount of Super Bowls is a monumentous thing and stuff like that. And one of the reasons is that he hates the Kansas City Chiefs. And he said something similar going into last week. He says, you should be rooting for the Patriots to beat the Los Angeles Chargers, because the Chargers are the ones that beat up on us twice a year, and they're the ones that have been spanking us for several years now. You have to vote, and he knows that people disagree with him. I disagree with him. I hate the Patriots. I would have liked to have seen actually San Diego win that. And then go on to the AFC Championship game, but he feels differently. He hates the rivals in the AFC West more than any other teams, with maybe the exception of maybe like Pittsburgh or something like that, or Dallas. I know he hates Dallas too. He can't stand the Tuck Rule, of course, but he's not a big, huge Brady hater like a lot of other people are.
Well, I'm just saying, because 99% of the Raiders fans I know, as much as they hate the Donkeys, as much as they hate the Sparklers, as much as they hate the Chiefs, Tom Brady moved to public enemy number one the day of the Tuck Rule.
Yeah, the other, it's all the other crap too, with like the cheating and stuff like that, and you know. In the modern day era of cheating, when it's a lot harder to do than when the Raiders were doing it way back in the 70s and early 80s. But, I told him on the show, I said, you know, I don't respect Tom Brady and New England. That's why I root against them. I respect the Chiefs. I don't respect the Broncos, and I don't respect the Chargers, but I respect the Chiefs. So, lesser of two evils, I would rather have the Chiefs beat up on them and go to the Super Bowl. Not, I don't want to see Brady in there again. I'm sick of him. He needs to retire and die.
Now, I do have to give a former Raider a great shout out, because it was probably one of the best Twitter quotes I've seen in a while. And I think I know who I'm referring
yes,
to.
Yes, would that be Charles Woodson referring to the Adam Vinatieri missed kick in the snow for Indianapolis, and he goes, oh, now you miss a kick in the snow.
Yeah, 17 years later.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was pretty funny.
So, obviously, I am very excited, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get started and talk about all this great NFL things we have to talk about, let's tell you where you can find not only The End Zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, if you're using your mobile device, you can always use the Podbean app and search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for you Android users, and of course now on Spotify as well. Again, just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Visit our Facebook page, Fandom Podcast Network. We have email if you want to contact us directly, fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter, @FanPodNetwork. As far as me, you can, Kyle, you can find me on Twitter at AKyleW, go Chiefs go, or on Instagram, AKyleFandom, Mahomes is a god. So, Kevin, where can people find you? And I heard that audible eye roll again, so.
You can find me on Twitter at Spartan_PhoenixChiefsSuck. You can also find me on Instagram at Spartan_PhoenixChiefsSuck.
Yeah, you can't really say that about Patrick Mahomes right now. He's going to be the league MVP, but, you know. And of course, you know, when you're listening to podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network, we'd love it if you were wearing our gear. Visit our TeePublic store where you can help us keep the lights on around here. All proceeds go right back into the network so we can create the best shows possible for you. Visit TeePublic.com and search Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, we love to hear your input and reviews, especially on iTunes. That way new fans can find us easier, and we love to get the critiques of what we're doing. Except, you know, Kevin only requires 5-star reviews.
Try it.
Because he doesn't get it for his football team anytime soon. So, you know, he's got to take it where he can get it.
Bunch of haters.
Well, with that, let's talk about the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, Kevin. Interesting weekend of games. And it starts first in Kansas City in some snow. And I think a game that actually surprised some people, because I thought a lot of people were giving the Colts a chance to win and upset Kansas City.
Yeah.
Or at least keep it close. And Kansas City just kind of dominated the Colts.
They did from the get-go, which surprised me. I thought the Colts would give it a lot more considering the way they played the previous week. But, of course, Houston is not the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's not, and playing in Arrowhead is a whole different monster than playing in a dome.
Yeah.
For the Colts. I got to say this, I wasn't so surprised that Kansas City won. It was how they won, because our defense decided to finally show
up. They did.
This is how it's going to be for the playoffs. Chris Jones, D Ford, Justin Houston all had huge games getting pressure on Andrew Luck. And a little thing, everybody's been knocking the Chiefs defense, and rightfully so, but the Kansas City Chiefs tied for the league in sacks this year, finishing with 52 sacks as a team.
Question for you. Looking on the note here, it says, Kansas City, the first AFC championship appearance since the 1993 season. That's quite a long time ago. Do you remember who was on that team and who was the quarterback? Was that
the quarterback?
Wait, hold on.
The quarterback
hold on,
was one Hall of Fame.
Hold on. Let me guess. Would that be Montana?
Yep, Montana was the quarterback. Okay. That was the second year of Montana in Kansas City. He actually retired after that game. He got a concussion.
Was Marcus Allen in that team?
Yep, Marcus Allen was on that team. They still had Derek Thomas and Neil Smith as well on the defensive side of the ball. So. Yeah, that was the last time, and you know, it was after Montana. It was the string of rent a quarterback for a good while until really Alex Smith. I mean, Alex Smith was Sanford was Kansas City for a few years, and now obviously it's the Patrick Mahomes era. But it was a good win for Kansas City in some cold weather. The Colts offensive line. I don't know what happened to them in that game. I mean, I wasn't complaining, mind you, but they had been blocking. I mean, Andrew Luck had only 18 sacks. All against him all season. So I don't know what happened quite with Indianapolis, if it was the weather, maybe a combination of things, but Kansas City advances to the AFC Championship game. And then Saturday night, a team got run over, literally. But if you would have thought the game would have been a team getting run over, you would have been the other team that you thought would be the one doing the running. But it wasn't. The Rams, with a combination of Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson, just ran all over the Dallas Cowboys. They racked up like 245 yards rushing between the two.
Did you see the news prior to the playoffs of Jerry Jones buying that big, huge luxury yacht?
Yeah, with like two helipads. It was like $150 million more than what he paid for the Cowboys initially.
Yeah, I bet he was planning some parties on that thing. Not going to happen. We all like seeing the Cowboys lose, don't we, Kyle? Don't we?
Oh, yeah. It's always entertaining. And, you know, truthfully, the Rams were the team I think most people wanted to see make the NFC Championship game, considering the other team that made it, which we'll talk about here shortly. But, you know, I don't I think the NFC is almost a given at this point, because, I mean, as good as the Rams looked, they still, it's Dallas, and Dallas still has a lot of limitations on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah.
So, it really wasn't even that close of a game, even though the score finished with an 8-point deficit. The Rams pretty much dominated Dallas in that game.
Another team that did not make it to the Super Bowl that will be giving the Raiders a first round number one pick.
Yeah, but come on, as Raider fans, you were kind of thinking that pick was going to be a lot higher than what it
ended up it's a
being.
First round pick. We'll take it, man.
Yeah. And then the game Sunday in, I'm shocked that it was quite the score that it was. I really thought the Chargers would come to show up a little bit better, but the Patriots just put a pounding on the Chargers.
Yeah, it was like 14-0. I think it started out as. I mean, they didn't let go. It was crazy. Ended up winning 41-28, and Patriots advanced to their 8th consecutive AFC championship.
I'm going to call this right now. I think the Chargers' one big mistake was they played a game on the East Coast in Baltimore, and then they flew back across country to the West Coast, then flew back across country to go play in New England. Why didn't they just stay on the East Coast for the week?
I would have done it, yeah. I mean,
I think that would.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to call that stuff, though, because you don't know what was going to happen with the other games and stuff. But still,
I mean, there is precedence for the West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast, especially with the early start of that game and how West Coast teams perform early starts on the East Coast. It's not been pretty for them over the years.
Love seeing the Chargers underperform, though. Sent home packing. Love that.
The Chargers being the Chargers. Yep. There is one aspect of it, though. There's a small sliver of my humanity that does feel a little bit for Phillip Rivers, because he has been a really good quarterback for a long time. But then again, he plays for the Chargers, so who cares?
Yeah, I don't have that sliver of humanity in anywhere in my soul or bone for Phillip Rivers. That guy is an ass. I have no respect for Phillip Rivers and his 20,000 kids. Sorry.
Oh, I think you just popped another one out while we were
exactly talking. Yeah, can't stand Phillip Rivers.
And Kevin, I know this kind of broke your heart a little bit. The Foles magic is over.
Yeah, the Foles magic is done. We thought though that something was going to happen in that first quarter, and the Eagles took some advantage first, wondering what was happening with the Saints, and then boom, Saints turned it around, won 20-14. Largest postseason comeback in franchise history.
Yeah, and truthfully, if it wasn't for Alshon Jeffrey putting butter on his hand, then the Eagles might have pulled that game out.
No, he was playing the Bird Box challenge. He had a bandana around his eyes. That's what was happening.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I saw that meme on Facebook the next day. I'm just going to say this one more time. Philly, go with Foles.
Well, I can tell you right now, Doug Peterson has already said Carson Wentz is our QB going forward. He basically said, Nick Foles gave us a wonderful 2 years, and we wish him all the best.
Doug Peterson, you suck.
Well, Nick Foles is going to get paid. Let's put it that way.
Good luck to Foles.
Yeah, if I'm Jacksonville, I have his agent on speed dial.
I'd have him go to New York, man. That's what I'd do.
Well, there is a thing, though, with Foles real quick. Philadelphia has an option on him, but it's like a $20 million option.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that.
Unless they got, but they could get him, take it, and trade him, and then somebody could rework the contract.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that. I just don't. I don't.
Yeah, it's a long shot, but you know what? Even if they recouped a late first round pick or a high second round pick out of it,
When do they have to do this option thing? When is that deadline?
Like by the end of the Super Bowl, I think is what
okay.
It is.
So if they don't, he's a unrestricted free agent, right?
Correct.
He can go wherever he wants.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. Foles is a different kind of guy, though. He almost retired before Andy Reid brought him in to be the backup in Kansas City to Alex Smith for a season. And that kind of reignited his football, and then he went to Philly to be a backup, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's other news going on besides the playoffs. Kevin. And so let's take a quick look at some NFL news. And I guess it starts really, the coaching carousel continues to expand, but it's pretty much slowing down now because it looks like all the jobs are either filled or about to be filled. The Jets have hired Adam Gase, the former Dolphins head coach, to come in and be the quarterback whisperer to Sam Darnold. I actually like this hire. I think Adam...
Hold on. They hire him as what?
To be the quarterback whisperer to Sam Darnold.
Is he the coach or is he the QB coach?
He's the coach. He's the head
coach.
Okay,
so he's in the same division. Okay.
Yeah. I actually like this hire for the Jets. I think Gase got a bad rap in Miami and stuck with some really bad quarterback play and some really bad personalities in Miami. The Browns hire Freddie Kitchens, who was their offensive coordinator after Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were kicked out the door.
So they hired within.
And then they promoted from within. He has a great rapport with Baker Mayfield, and I think that's why he got the job. They did release Greg Williams, however, and then not bringing him back as the defensive coordinator. I believe the Browns hired Vance Joseph to be the new defensive coordinator.
From the Broncos, right?
From the Broncos, yep. It looks as though the Bengals will be hiring Rams QB coach Zach Taylor to be their head coach. This continued the trend of everybody thinks that Sean McVay's head coaches are the greatest things in sliced bread. And apparently the Dolphins will hire, and again, I say will hire on this and the Zach Taylor hire because they can't officially hire them until these teams are out of the playoffs.
Right.
But the Dolphins will be hiring linebacker coach / defensive coordinator of the Patriots, Brian Flores, to be their new head coach.
Okay, bunch of new names getting coaching positions. Interesting.
Yeah, so while everybody's trying to go for that young, youthful coach now after the success McVay has had, you know, the NFL, it's a copycat league. So, personnel moves. Now, Kevin, I got to ask you this real quick. You're on a team pretty much all season long. You're about to play in the championship game. Yeah, I mean, the end of the season's got gone well to you. You got benched in favor of a younger guy. Maybe you weren't playing up to snuff. But then you get released right before the AFC championship game. How would you feel?
That would suck.
Well, Kansas City has done that. They had offensive linemen, and I know I'm going to get this name wrong because it's like Laurent Nani Tardif, who happens to be the only official doctor in the NFL as a player.
Laurent Duvernay Tardif.
Tardif, that's it, Duvernay. He is officially a doctor. He is an MD.
They activated him from IR.
He is actually was one of their starting offensive linemen at the beginning
of
the season.
So who got cut?
And Ron Parker.
Oh, okay.
The safety, which tends to make a lot of people believe that Eric Berry will be able to play in the New England game if they cut Parker, because otherwise they'd really
only
have three
Parker.
Safeties on the roster.
That sucks.
Yeah. But Tardif was a very good offensive lineman, and I don't think he'll start, but to have him on the depth chart to help with the offensive line, especially against New England, could be a big boon for Kansas City. We'll see how that plays out. However, what I'm more interested in, it could be really, really cold during the AFC championship game, Kevin. Like
your opponent doesn't mind.
I think when it gets to these temperatures, everybody minds, because they're talking about it being at kickoff 4 degrees.
The Patriots are used to playing in that weather.
Well,
don't think of that as being an advantage for your Chiefs. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it's home field. That's the advantage.
You guys are only favored by 3 points.
Well, yeah, but that's fair, and we should only be favored by 3 points. It is the Patriots. And, you know, as the great Ric Flair once said, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
That's right.
And I'm glad we are playing the Patriots in that aspect.
So, we'll get into that later.
Yeah. There's one other little story I didn't put in the notes, but I want to bring it up because I thought it was a fun little story. There was one of the Chiefs players who got stuck in the snow on his way to the game on Saturday. And a kindness of a stranger helped him get his truck unstuck. And after the game, Chiefs offensive lineman Jeff Allen wanted to put out a Twitter to find this guy because he wanted to give him tickets to the AFC championship game. Well, it turns out this guy is homeless and was living in his car. And he just helped out. He didn't realize who he was helping out either. And just an act of human kindness. And now this guy has tickets to the AFC Championship game.
Very cool.
So, and even better story, a lot of people have heard this guy's story, and they have come up with a fund for him that's raised him enough money so he can get a place to live.
That's a good story. I like that.
So now things are getting interesting in the NFL draft because there's a wild card that's kind of entered the draft. He's got a few more days before he is fully committed to the draft, but that is Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, who also happens to have a nice little contract waiting for him from the Oakland Athletics of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, can you explain that part to me? Because I'm trying to make sense of this, because I know him entering the NFL draft is kind of making things a little more interesting right now. But what's the deal with the Oakland A's?
Okay, so baseball is a little different with how it drafts. You can draft a player, and if he's in college, he can sign a contract, and then the money's kind of put on hold while he finishes, if he chooses to stay in college to play. And then once he leaves college, he can collect his money and start his baseball career. In this case, Kyler Murray was a number one draft pick of the Oakland Athletics a year ago. He has a contract waiting for him to sign that would pay him about $4.5 million. But apparently Kyler Murray really loves football. I mean, he is the Heisman Trophy winner. So he has decided to put his name into the NFL draft. Now, there are people questioning whether this is a negotiating ploy with the Athletics to try to get some more money out of the Athletics. Good luck with that. That's all I'm going to say there.
But he's not going to be able to collect that money if he goes to the NFL draft, right?
Correct. Because realistically, this isn't a Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders situation. The position he plays being quarterback, you have to fully commit to one sport.
Right.
And in this case, if he goes to the NFL draft and chooses to commit to that sport, then all the power to him. The catch is the A's will continue to hold his baseball rights if he ever decides to go play Major League Baseball.
Right. Okay.
So kind of interesting thing. Now, Kyler Murray, you ask the NFL draft experts, a lot of them have him pegged as a second, maybe third round pick. But there are a lot of people saying he could be a first round pick.
Yeah.
As well. In fact, the Arizona coach, Cliff Kingsbury, said he might consider taking him with the number one overall pick. I highly doubt that. He has Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Jaguars, Giants, though. And I don't know who's saying Raiders. I don't know where they're getting that from right now. But there's a lot of people thinking that's a good idea.
Well, okay, so here's my feeling.
Because we got picks to burn.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it for the Raiders. But here's my feeling on Kyler Murray. Wherever Kyler Murray goes, I think he's one of these guys who's going to have to sit for a while, maybe a full season.
That depends.
He's got to go. See, I think I'm going to be honest with you. The team that should be seriously trying to draft Kyler Murray is the New England Patriots. They do not have a young quarterback ready to develop. He would be the perfect kind of quarterback for the Patriots. And
more than the Jaguars, more than the Giants. Tom Brady retiring next year, dude.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying.
Immediate needs right now. Yeah, but we saw what Baker Mayfield did, and we saw what Josh Rosen did. The guy in New York.
Yeah, but the thing is Kyler Murray is not the best quarterback in this draft. And as good as he was in college, the guy that everybody is falling in love with is the Ohio State quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. And there's probably going to be the Giants or Jaguars who maybe even try to trade up to get him. Your Raiders sitting at four would be a highly probable trade candidate.
Yeah, I personally don't see that happening. I see Jacksonville jumping in there. That's
Well, that's what I'm saying. Raiders sitting at four, trading down to accumulate even more picks.
Right, right. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. He's a bit of a wild card. I see him as ideally
because Eli Manning has one more year on his current contract.
Yeah.
And it would create an exciting offense alongside Saquon and Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. The 2020 quarterback class is looking to be really, really good. So it's going to be interesting. Of course, there's a bunch of NFL teams that might tank for the next 2 years just so they can take the Clemson kid.
Yeah.
But now, okay, I'm going to begrudge you, Kevin. You have some Raider news for us.
Yes. So there was some news that came out about the Raiders meeting with the Oakland Coliseum board about possibly staying in Oakland for one more year and stuff like that. I think that's been defunct. According to Mark Davis, Raiders won't be present at the next Coliseum Authority meeting. He wasn't. This report comes from some other Bay Area reporters that are saying this. So I don't know where this stuff is coming from here, but it's possible. I know that he went to a funeral recently. He couldn't go to the groundbreaking, which I'll talk about in a minute, because he was going to a funeral of a Oakland Raiders family member, so he couldn't make that. So I don't know if this is still in the cards, but if Mark Davis says that the Raiders won't be present at the next Coliseum Authority meeting, I tend to believe him.
Yeah, my personal feeling is that I have a feeling they're going to share Levi Stadium with San Francisco for a year, and then it's off to Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know. They're still looking at. There's the possibility of Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego as well. The Coliseum has not been, it says here, the Coliseum has not been formally eliminated as a prospect. Quote, yes, there's still a possibility that agreement can be reached. Executive Director Scott McKibben told the Bay Area News Group Monday. I'm not sure what the odds are, but it's still possible. The Coliseum Authority will let the Raiders do their due diligence. Once the Raiders have completed all the research at other places, we will sit down and talk one last time. So we will see.
My understanding with this, too, is the NFL has told the Raiders they have to have a site picked by the Super Bowl so they can set the 2019 NFL schedule.
Yeah, that's coming up pretty quick.
So, yeah. So, and there was one other little piece of news for the Raiders, Kevin.
Yes, the Raiders break ground on the new facility in Henderson, Nevada. I don't know if you've checked out these pictures,
it's spectacular.
The diagrams, the video, the 3D rendering. This facility is gorgeous. It's going to have like three outdoor fields. It's going to have two indoor fields. It's going to have a great front office and a beautiful entrance area. It's going to be state of the art. And Henderson is adopted this with arms open. The mayor's loving this. They're probably going to change the street out there to something Raider name related. And if you're a Raider fan or if you're just a football fan, you're curious, check this out. The rendering just looks fantastic. And Derek Carr was there, as well as I think Gruden, several other players. Like I said, Mark Davis couldn't make it because he was at a funeral. But it looks fantastic. So it gives the Raiders, Raider fans and the Raider organization something positive to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, with that, shall we talk some championship games, Kevin?
Sure.
So both games being played this coming Sunday. The first is the NFC Championship. Man, remember when there was a time when the NFC Championship was like the premier game of the playoff championship day?
Are these both on Saturday or Sunday?
They're both Sunday. The Rams go to New Orleans at 3:05 Eastern with the New Orleans Saints favored by 3.5. And then New England travels to Kansas City with a kickoff time of 6:40 Eastern with Kansas City favored by 3. So let's start in order, Kevin, with the 3:05 NFC Championship game start. Of course, this was a rematch from a game earlier this season, which I believe New Orleans won 45-35.
Yeah, it was close. It wasn't a blowout.
No, not at all. Who do you like?
New Orleans at home.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the season quarterback. He's proved he can come back and switch the game, play up a little bit, and the defense played better in the second half. Their kicker, Lutz, is doing well, which was very important in that game. And, Drew Brees wasn't doing the best, but Michael Thomas sure was. So is that his name, right?
Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Yes. Yeah. The running game wasn't as good as it could have been, but he was making some passes, man. And I'm going to go with New Orleans.
Yeah. You know what? I would lean toward New Orleans too. They're incredibly tough to beat in the dome. However, the Rams are very much in this football game. A couple of things that weren't around in the first matchup was they have a healthy Aqib Talib and a healthy Marcus Peters. Both of those guys were either out or playing injured at that time. And also there's a new wild card in the mix for the Rams, and that's CJ Anderson, who is just making people forget Todd Gurley's even on the team the way he's been running since he got to the Rams. And hard to believe CJ Anderson went from the Broncos to the Panthers to the Raiders to the Rams all in one season.
Yeah, he was with the Raiders for like 24 minutes.
I think if the Rams play like they did against Dallas, where they control the ball with the run, they've got a very good shot at beating New Orleans, because the key to beating New Orleans is keeping the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
This is true. Yeah.
So I still like New Orleans, but I think the Rams have a very good chance at this. And of course, advance warning, extreme Kyle bias kicking in, but the New England Patriots are playing the Kansas City Chiefs, 6:40 kickoff timing, Arrowhead. Excuse me. And I said it before earlier in the podcast, and I'll say it again. Classic Ric Flair quote, the wrestler, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. Well, now Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, it's time to step up and beat the man and prove that you belong in the elite of the NFL. Obviously, they had that classic Sunday night game in week 6, Kevin, in New England, where Tom Brady led them on a drive with about a minute left to kick the game-winning field goal. But you look back at that game, too, and Patrick Mahomes did not have a great first half in that game. He missed about 3 plays that 2 of them were easy touchdowns that he just, I think nerves got to him a little bit playing in against Brady on Sunday night prime time. I don't think that's as much of an issue. A lot of people were kind of getting on Patrick Mahomes. Oh, his first playoff game, he's going to look nervous against the Colts. And he looked just fine. If this game was in New England, I would say New England should be the favorite, probably by a little bit more than 3. But coming into Arrowhead, I think it's straight up even between these two teams, Kevin.
I'm going to give it to New England. The reason why, and if you look back, remember when we were doing our head-to-head bets and we were looking forward, or we were looking ahead to see who'd make it to the Super Bowl, I say I can't count out New England until someone beats them, and I still stand by that. Looking back at our head-to-head bets, my picks for our 10-point bets at the time was New England and the LA Rams. Both teams are in the Final Four, by the way. Just a reminder, your pick was Jacksonville and the LA Rams. Then you repicked and you said Kansas City and the LA Rams. So your repick has definitely 2 teams that are in the finals here. But until I see it happen and I see the demise of New England, I think they're going to be in their element too. I'm projecting New England, unfortunately, to win, and I'm not a fan of that. So
no, I think that's a very fair assessment. I mean, New England, this is their 9th. If they go to the Super Bowl, it's their 9th Super Bowl in the Tom Brady era, and this is their 8th straight AFC Championship game. However, a couple of things. New England has never made it to the Super Bowl the year after they lost a Super Bowl. And 2, the last time New England played an AFC Championship game on the road, they lost.
Question about the one statistic that you said about how they did not make it to the Super Bowl after they lost the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Did they even make it this far after they won a Super Bowl when they didn't?
One time, yes, because I believe they lost to the Colts in the title game.
Because through the season, they haven't looked the strongest, but they took their division and they came out from the bye, won convincingly at home. So I have no reason to think otherwise that they're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. They've been just as competitive. I mean, you know, I think in previous years that they've won a Super Bowl and they did not make it back the next year. I don't even know if they made it this far into the playoffs. I don't remember. Yeah.
Here's the thing, and this is the other thing I look at with this, and like I said, I've got bias, and I'm not even going to try to hide it here, but I look at a couple of factors in with this game. One, San Diego made absolutely zero adjustments in that football game. Their coach just stopped coaching, and Andy Reid's not going to do that. Two, New England this season was only 3-5 on the road. They were undefeated at home. Kansas City was 7-1 at home, and defensively, on the road, they gave up 32 points a game. At home, they only gave up 17 points a game. So Kansas City is a very different team playing in Arrowhead, and New England this season has been a very different team on the road. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, it's the AFC Championship game, it's Tom Brady, you throw a lot of stuff out the window. But yes, I think these two teams are very even. And Kansas City has been one of the teams that's actually given New England.
What I see here is the new Peyton Manning Colts against the Tom Brady Patriots. This is what I see right now. I think that the Chiefs really need to go over this hump to prove that they are who they can be. And be a contender for the Super Bowl for the next few years under Mahomes, but they got to win this game to prove that.
Yeah. Curious thing is too, Andy Reid as the Kansas City Chiefs head coach has split even with New England in their head-to-head matchups since he has been the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And let's not forget, and all of those games have been actually pretty close, except for last year's Monday Night Football game where the Chiefs kind of handed it to New England with the Kareem Hunt debut game. But I think, like I said, I think this is a straight up even matchup. I can't give either team an edge. I think there are things that Kansas City does that is going to give New England fits. I think they're going to put more pressure on Brady. And if they knock Brady around, especially of late when Brady gets knocked around, he doesn't play as well. But it, again, like you said, Kevin, and I, as much as I hate to admit it, until you beat New England, it's that simple. Until you can beat them in the playoffs. Yep. And right now, you know, Kansas City's got to prove that they can do that. I think they're capable of it. I think Patrick Mahomes is capable of leading them to a win, but they've got to get on the field and prove it. My hope is Kansas City wins. That's a bias. Realistically, I think most people will give the slight edge to New England, but I think a lot of people feel like Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes is the kind of team that could beat New England. So I think it's going to be probably the better of the two championship games. I think it's going to be a lot closer. Obviously, weather's going to be a factor in this game, even though both
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a low-scoring game, came down to a field goal.
Yeah, it could very well be that. So right now, your pick is the Patriots and Saints for the Super Bowl then, Kevin.
Yes. I'd rather see New Orleans and KC, but yeah, I think it's going to be. And I'll be honest with you, seeing Drew Brees go against Brady has an appeal. And I know that Murph from Raiders Fan Radio is kind of saying what he would love to see. He would love to see those two guys go for it. But I hope it comes down to Brees getting his second ring. So
yeah, I will say this. There's any one of these four teams that could easily win the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a lot of difference between these four teams.
Yeah. The Rams I would give the low seed to. So, but yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that low. But a lot of interesting storylines. And it's going to be a fun Sunday of championship games. But we're going to take a quick break and let you know what's going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And Kevin and I will be back to talk a little playoff fantasy football.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have Endzone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal Podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we're back. And you know what? We're back with some playoff fantasy football, which includes Kevin's NFL playoff challenge. But we got a little Jimmy GQ Man Crush of the Week, Kevin. And for me, and I'm mad because I thought I put him in my starting lineup and I didn't. But that is Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. That guy caught everything. It was, could have been 10 yards over his head, and he still managed to catch it somehow. He was amazing in that game Sunday afternoon.
You did not put him in your lineup? Why not?
I thought I had, and I didn't. I must have clicked on the wrong thing, and I didn't catch it until it was too late.
So I did not get a chance. Who did you play?
I had T.Y. Hilton in there, who was the second receiver under Michael Thomas in the selection thing, and I think I must have just clicked on the...
But you got some points from T.Y.
Yeah, but I would have rather had Michael Thomas. He had a huge
game. That's
easy
to say now. Yeah, sure.
But no, I mean, he was huge. I mean, like I said, he caught everything.
So before we get into the teams that we have here, we have a little Jimmy GQ Man Crush you want to do here, and your pick is Michael Thomas of the Saints.
Yes. And what about you? Do you have a Jimmy GQ playoff Man Crush for this week?
Well, I had Michael Thomas on there, and so and he did score quite a bit of points. But you know what? I'm going to give it to Drew Brees. I'm going to give it to Drew Brees because he was able to turn things around and be the captain that he needed to be, and to make sure that Michael Thomas got those points and those yards. So I got to give it to Brees.
Yeah, that's fair too. So. Well, let's talk about the Raider Nerd NFL Playoff Challenge.
Yeah, so you remember what happened I did on the first week?
Oh, yeah, you benched everybody because you wanted double points for all your players.
Yeah, so I got 0 points that first week. And then I played mostly the Saints and a few of the Chiefs guys. And I think I got up to like around 80-something points after that. I was kind of like in middle of the road. Mm-hmm. Want to guess who's in second place right now?
That would be one Kevin Reitzel at 224 points.
Yes, my buddy Chris Gagolin is in first place at 267 points. And that's because going into the championship round right now, I will get double points for Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Tyreek Hill, Michael
Thomas.
Triple
points?
Triple points, yeah. All these guys, Travis Kelce, Will Lutz, and the New Orleans Saints. I'm feeling pretty good about that because all these guys are active. I didn't have to change anybody up. Now, if something happens and the Chiefs lose, the Saints lose, things are going to get really interesting. But I feel pretty strong that if these guys all advance, the only thing I'm worried about though is that Todd Gurley is, of course, who I have on my team. Either he's going to be eliminated or at least five of my players are going to be eliminated from the Saints. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
I think now, you can live without Todd Gurley and go with Damian Williams or Sonny Michel.
This is true. Or Mark Ingram, you know.
Yeah.
You have, with triple points going into the championship conference round, you've got Patrick Mahomes, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Your T.Y. Hilton, of course, has been eliminated. And, of course, your Los Angeles Chargers, who gave you -4 points.
Yeah,
ouch,
I know.
Are not going to get you any bonus points. But you will get 2-time bonus points with Will Lutz going into the conference round. Now, the person that's ahead of me right now, my buddy Chris Gagolin, he started Phillip Rivers, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon.
Oh, so he's going to be hurting.
Yes, he has to start from scratch with those players going into round 3.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling pretty confident that I think I'll be up there around the number 1, number 2 spot.
Yeah, basically, there. The only thing that would be disaster for you is if the Saints lose.
Pretty much. I mean, if the Saints and the Chiefs lost. You know, because I would have only one player getting all the bonus points, and that would be Todd Gurley. But I'm with C.J. Anderson now. I'm not really convinced that he's going to get what he's going to get here. There it is. Do you enjoy playing this at all?
Actually, I find this almost more fun than regular fantasy football.
Why is that?
Because there's a feeling you're never out of it. In the aspect of if... At least until you get to maybe like the Super Bowl and depending on how teams go. But there's a feeling like if you play it right, even if you are like way back in the pack, you can still pull it out depending on how you do with your picks. And I think that makes it a little more interesting. With fantasy football, there's so many other elements. And you know these guys are going to play barring an injury. With fantasy football, sometimes, the guy has a hangnail. He's not playing this week.
Well, yeah, and last year, selling my soul to the devil and playing mostly Patriots – was a safe bet because they were I think they were around the number 1 seed. They were the strongest and that they were going to make, even though they didn't win the Super Bowl, I was able to still win because they played in the Super Bowl and I got all those bonus points. But this one was a little toss up for me. I had to kind of go with my heart and my gut, which was the same. I said, instead of my original pick with the Los Angeles Rams, I'm like, you know what? I got to go with the Saints because the Saints have just been so strong. So I'm glad that I have, and I feel more confident with, to a certain degree. I don't know. There's a part of me that just felt more confident going with a couple of the skilled position players with the Chiefs than with the Patriots, because to me, the Patriot positions, it's kind of a toss up of who's going to excel. With maybe Edelman is an exception.
Yeah,
but I couldn't go with Gronkowski, so because I don't know what he's going to do. It's weird. So I ended up going with Chiefs players because I felt more confident, even if they only make it to the conference game and they don't make it to the Super Bowl. So I'm happy with my team. Hopefully, I just need for the Saints to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One last thing regarding our head-to-head, can I just tell you that? Beating up on Bob before the playoffs so badly that he was mathematically eliminated, and being able to beat you in the wild card one, it's really nice going into the playoffs not having to worry about football bets.
That's okay. I'm still champ. Yeah, I'm still the champ. Right here.
Hey, I'm the champ here, and you're the champ in the fantasy.
Well, with that, we're looking forward to a very exciting weekend. I'm going to say it right now. Let's go Kansas City. I think Kevin, he'll never say it, but he is thinking it inside because he does not want to see Tom Brady in another Super Bowl.
Let me just say this. I would rather Tom Brady make it to the Super Bowl and then lose a Super Bowl. I love that.
Yeah, I can get that. But if the Kansas City Chiefs do beat the New England Patriots, I cannot be held responsible for whatever actions I might portray on the next episode of The End Zone. I'm just saying it now.
I'm feeling a little sick. I'm just saying.
You. It might be just me and a 1-hour celebration podcast. Somebody call Cool in the gang. But with that, here's hoping that Patrick Mahomes or Drew Brees or Jared Goff. I'm not going to acknowledge Patriots fans. Sorry, Cat Cedar. Sorry, Pete. Not happening. Finds if one of those three is your team's quarterback, I hope they find ways for you to get into the end zone. Go Chiefs!